Little shunk.
Listeners, I hope that our love of spirits lifted your whiskey. I blew it. Welcome once again to Chill Filter, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to, but you probably should, and you probably are, and that's why we like you. Fun week this week. We're drinking something from Australia again. Who knows what it is? You probably read the title of the episode, so you probably know a little bit about what's going on, but there's a hint of Scotland in there if you don't know by now. Before we get into talking about whiskey, talking about life, talking about anything like that, so let's talk about some business. Let's talk about some business. Business this week, just hit us up on Instagram. We love talking to you. We enjoy. And like, also like, if you see our stories and want to comment on or like put in your, you know, your 2 cents, we love that. We'll take as much of that as you guys give us. We're not big enough yet to be like picking and choosing. We just love, you know, your responses, and we love your votes and all that stuff. So vote, reach out, and write in on Instagram. So that's the business for this week. Otherwise, Brian, how's it going, man?
Good. It's going good, going well. Now, It was not going well a couple days ago. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I,
since we last recorded.
Yeah. Last day in Texas, we were on our way to the airport, and I was like, my nose feels a little congested. I don't know. Maybe it's just allergies. I'm not sure. And like literally all it was like, I could feel like a little bit of inflammation, like in my nose. And then, and I was supposed to turn around and go on a work trip the next day.
That's right. To Virginia. Maryland. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wake up the next day and I'm full blown sick. So I'm like, yeah, this isn't happening. I'm not about to stroll into where I'm headed to on my work trip and be all like nasally and like wiping my nose all the time and everything. So I was like, cancel that. We had this whole shebang planned where I was going to come down and see Cole too. I was going to drive down.
We had reservations with people.
We did. We had to cancel those too because Brian got sick. But anyway, fortunately, we were able to reschedule all that. I'm going to do my work trip next week, and we're going to be able to go to wherever we're going. We did announce it last week, didn't we?
We did. Announced it. Yeah, we're still going. So that's A. Smith Bowman Distillery.
Yeah,
going we'll to A. Smith have Bowman. The new head distiller, the new master distiller of A. Smith Bowman on next episode. So be prepared.
And he wants to give us Cask Strength Batch 3.
So it sounds like, well, I've heard two stories by them. So we'll figure it out when we get there.
Okay.
But one person I heard Cask Strength Batch 3, and the other person I heard the French Oak Abraham Bowman. So we'll see. Maybe both. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. We might get both.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, honestly, I'm equally excited for either because, like, I know that the cask strength is going to be delicious, and the French oak is a little more intriguing because it's such a new, like, interesting idea for them. So either way, it's going to be great.
One of these days, I'm like, you know, it's a lot to ask a distiller. Hey, can I sip from the barrel? Or something like that. But I like want to get it in there somehow and be like, hey, you got any thieves around here? You know, like what? Like just like, I don't know, joking. And like, because I imagine he's going to show us around a little bit at least.
Yeah.
And this is an inside tour, you know, not an inside tour.
Right. Yeah. Because that would be too much. Tours,
they don't give you some barrel from the barrel goodness. Yeah, but I doubt that'll happen. I'm not really getting my hopes up. But if someone's willing, I'm willing. So
yeah, maybe if we bring our own thief,
this is our standard thief that we bring to everything.
I just happen to have. Oh, look, it's in my sock. I just pulled it out right here.
Or one of those, you know, like some people will do, like they'll drill a hole in the head of the barrel and then like plug it later. Like, I just happen to have this handy dandy drill on me and plugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a little sawdust in the barrel. Yeah. That'll be great.
That would be great. Yeah. That's dreams.
Yeah. But anyway, looking forward to getting out to see you, looking forward to coming out there and being able to go to A. Smith Bowman and everything. So, and feeling a lot better now.
Finally. That's good. Glad to hear it. I'll also take you to the bar that I used to work at in downtown Richmond.
Nice.
So that's exciting. And on a Saturday night where my boys are bartending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rack up your tab over there. You'll come in at the end of the month to pay your tab and they'll be like, what's all this?
They're like, you got to work behind the counter, work this off. I miss working there. That was a fun place, but yeah, definitely the most fun job I've ever done. Was it worth the pay? It was, I mean, for what it was, but is it worth supporting my family with is the better question. It's probably no. Yeah. But I do like a fun job. So
The fun job that pays for whiskey.
Exactly. Pays for a lot of things. What was I thinking? My exam's coming up and you'll be here the weekend before my exam. So I was like, watch out. I might take on somebody on the street and you might need to hold me back.
Yeah. Brandon's coming out to visit you too.
Right.
Presumably the weekend after your exam.
I think 2 weeks after he's up.
Okay. So Brandon and I can exchange notes and see how was he before? Cause he was like this.
Was he on edge the whole time?
How many people did he punch when you were there? Cause when I was there.
How many times did he just break down and cry? No. Yeah. And who knows how the exam goes. So
true. If I had gone the week after I'm going now, I could have taken the exam with you.
You could have.
I could have gone in. I could have paid the fee and just gone in and just seen
sat
what
behind
happened.
Me, cheered me on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took a practice exam like yesterday and it was apparently an easy practice exam and I did really well. So that's good news. So who knows though? You never know with these guys. And the funny thing was the first time I took a real stab at this exam, I only got, so there's 0 to 10 score. 10 is I've only heard of one person ever getting a 10, in any exam. And passing score is 6 or above. And pass rate is for some of the exams, the pass like percentage of people that pass the exam is 30% sometimes, even though all you got to get is a 6 out of 10 to it's all curved and stuff and whatever. But that's how it's broken down. My first real attempt at this exam, I got a 3, which, I was definitely not passing.
Yeah.
But I took it again and I wasn't as prepared as the first time. So I kind of knew I was either going to get a 3 or less. And then the exam was so much easier.
Wow.
But I was, like I said, I was less prepared the second time. So I got a 2. And I knew I wasn't going to get a good score. That was just how it was. I didn't have enough time to study. And I'm in a better situation now where I got a lot more time and availability to study.
Yeah.
But on my, so it's weird. Some exams are a lot easier than others, but then they curve it. So it's you never know what's going to happen. So what you want, the best case scenario is you get a hard exam that you study just the right topics for, because there's topics you'll never see on an exam, but you still got to study just in case it's on the exam. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's I can't remember the last time I took a test like this. Well, okay. Like this, let me be clear. Mm-hmm. Last time I had to go in for an exam or something had to have been it was, there's a professional engineering exam.
Totally.
And FE.
Probably took that right out of college, though.
College.
Nice.
I think it's called the FE, which you have to pass in order to be an engineer in training.
Gotcha.
This is a formality thing where
certain
types of engineering require this. I think civil engineering.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But electrical, I didn't need it at all, but I kind of just wanted to do it to prove to myself that I learned enough during college.
Yeah.
So I did take the FE during college and,
cool.
And I did pass it actually. And it contributed absolutely nothing to my life.
Nice. That's the feeling I get about so there's a whiskey sommelier, which I don't know if it's anything official or anything. It's kind of hey, might as well do it. Organization came together and we should do this.
Yeah.
And I talked about this before because I think one of the coolest things you got to pass is storytelling. You got to be good at storytelling in order to get a whiskey sommelier status. And I'm I could probably pass it. And I've just accumulated enough things about how whiskey's made, what goes into it, what differences are there.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm decently good at storytelling. But I'm like, will it affect me at all getting a whiskey sommelier? You know, like, will it make me any better? Probably not. But it'd be sort of cool to be able to say you did, you know?
Well, I mean, when you go back to get that job at that bar, yeah, they're going to hire you right away.
That's true. No, they would take me. They like that. My boss was, how do I put this? Not a lot of people liked my boss, but he liked when you just didn't make a lot of trouble. Like he would accept me back in a moment if he had the opening.
Right.
But he's like very loyal to his current bartenders because he wouldn't be like, hey, Cole, you're taking Tuesdays now and Jimmy boy, you're out. because he's loyal to the people that are currently working for him. But if there's like an opening, he's come to me a few times and be like, hey, I got an opening at the big bar.
Yeah.
Do you want it? And I'm like, oh, I kind of do, but I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like recently? Maybe when the girls are older.
Yeah.
What's that?
Like recently? Yeah.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Recently,
you know, with a kid, and it was only like a night, and I could do it right after, like I could get off work and be there.
Yeah.
And then just work the night and be at my work the next morning. So it was like, it was all like doable, but it would probably not be a good thing as a father to do that once a week and just dip out.
Exactly.
But there's something to enjoying what you do. And like, honestly, like you wouldn't even have to pay me much. That was such a fun job.
Yeah.
That,
pay you in whiskey sips.
Yeah, no, heck, I mean, seriously, though, like, that's it. Like, that was most of the enjoyment of the job was.
Yeah,
I let's just say this. I had to learn somehow how that whiskey was before recommending it to other people. I can't say I sipped it because that's illegal in the state of Virginia. But somehow I learned about those whiskeys in one way or another. Yeah, exactly.
By osmosis, if you put your fingers on the outside of the glass, you can kind of
And I know how it tastes, you know. So. Yeah. But like that got me working there, got me from like about 150 different kinds of whiskeys in my repertoire to like 400, 500, probably by the end of by the year and a half that I worked there. It was just like, hey, I don't know what Booker's Rye tastes like, and I found out there, you know, like stuff like that, or it's like but there were certain ones like Booker's Rye or like Pappy 23 where it's like, I'm not just going to pull that down from the shelf and, you know, get my osmosis going through it.
Right.
It would be like, hey, if someone orders it, I'll take a little osmosis, you know, from the bottom or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was it. I love that job. But I look forward to introducing you to said bar.
Yeah.
And Floyd, my dog. Yeah, Floyd's great.
When we were hanging out with Mike and Chiro in Texas, we went to this board game shop and and picked a game to play, and we loved it so much we went ahead and got one for ourselves too. It's a game where like there's a you know, like a color wheel where like you can pick specific the game is a whole grid of a whole spectrum of color.
Okay.
And then, and you draw cards where there's a color on it, and you have to like say one word that sums up that color to try to get somebody else to guess exactly which square of color this huge grid is the color that you're talking about.
And then you kind of narrow it down a little further.
Closest to the correct one gets more points.
That's cool.
And so, you know, I'm like banana, and then I'm like rain boot, in my mind, like yellow rubber rain boots kind of thing.
Totally.
To try to get somebody to pick that right color yellow, because that will like correspond to like on a grid, like G20. And then the closest person to G20 gets points and stuff. So it's just like a fun, like creative thing to have to think of, like, oh, what's something I've seen before that's that color?
People, I can very much enjoy a party game. People think like I love, like they're like, Cole, that looks like a guy that likes Settlers of Catan. Or like, what are some of those other, like that kind of stuff? And I like 0% like those kind of games.
Oh, really?
I love party games.
Yeah.
like people are like, oh, let's play this with Cole. He'll be so either good at it or he'll enjoy it or so. I don't even know where they get this. But I'm like, no, I like don't like those games. Like Risk or what was it? Yeah. Ticket to Ride or like it's just not enjoyable to me.
Right.
But I love, like I said, like I love like Cards Against Humanity, even Apples definitely. To Apples can be great. There's a game we played and we have at our house. You ever heard of Say Anything?
Yes, but I've never played it.
It's super fun. It is basically write in apples to apples. You're given a, maybe not a word, but you're given a prompt saying like, hey, what would you write on your epitaph when you know, on your gravestone when you die? And so everyone writes in their answer and you basically get points saying, you don't get points for being chosen as much as you get points for betting on who you think the judge is going to choose. So you get points for that. You get points for being voted on and then you get points for being chosen by the judge. So you kind of add them all up and get your final points. So that can be fun. But I have like been crying on the floor playing that game, like just like laughing so hard because that kind of crying, not like sad.
I can't believe I lost.
I can't believe.
Mine
is super fun. Mm-hmm.
Nice. The game I was talking about, I had to look it up, but it's called Hues and Cues. Hues and Cues. Yeah.
It sounds like a game I would enjoy.
Highly recommend. Yeah.
You ever play a game called... Oh, go ahead.
Seems like it'd be really fun to play with kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
To hear what a kid would come up with. Like, you got to think of something that's that color. That's a
great idea. Especially when they're like 5 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever heard of a game called Skull?
No.
So I told a coworker one time, he was like huge into games, like that kind of stuff. And he's like, what kind of games? Like, he kind of got the assumption that I was probably into like Settlers of Catan or something like that. And I'm like, no, I really don't like those games at all. I don't like strategy games. I don't like, it's just boring to me. I'd rather be somewhere else usually.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what do you like when it comes to like any of that stuff? And I'm like, I like poker. Because it's about bluffing, it's about gambling, it's about like it's a mind game sometimes, and I like that. And he recommended to me, and he brought it like that week to work when I worked at a prior insurance company. It was a bigger one too, so there were a lot of people that joined in. But it's called Skull, and it's a bluffing game, and you don't play like for money at all, but it is really intense and really like mind games.
Nice.
And we ended up playing pretty much every Friday at work for 3 years.
Wow.
Just, it was like a Friday tradition to like everyone. Like sometimes we play with like 12 people and we would, it's a elimination game and, or not an elimination game. It can be an elimination game, but you can also just skip that. But it's very fun. I have some here. Maybe we could figure out, who'd play it with. We only got me, you and Heather.
But I'll
show you the game at least.
Yeah, for sure. The artwork is really cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very ornate.
There's different like cultures, views of skulls and stuff like that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's like a very like Norse looking huge a
Viking
beard.
One.
Like a Viking one. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will be totally honest. Uh-huh. I hate bluffing games.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah,
I hate games where I have to lie. Like One Night Ultimate Werewolf or something. That's one, or like Secret Hitler games where like there's like you don't know who the bad guy is and you're trying to figure out who the bad guy is. One of you sitting around the table is the bad guy. So I'm sitting here as the bad guy and I'm like, crap. Like the whole time I'm like, please don't. Oh God, I don't know what to say. I'm going to say something dumb. And then, so I really, really dislike games where
that's
I have to
lie. I'm trying to think about it. Cause like, you play like even Mafia and stuff like that. Or is that the same thing as, cause isn't that like,
I'm not sure about Mafia.
I don't know. But have you heard of Mafia where it's like, no. You go through townspeople. I don't know, but there's like lying if you're involved with that. And I don't like that as much with Skull. It's not like you're outright lying.
Okay. It's not like, I don't have the skull card.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, yeah. It's like you're basically leading people. I don't know. It's hard to describe the difference, but I understand what you're saying of like trying to like stand by what you don't believe in. It's more of like leading people on.
okay,
in
okay.
a special way. It's kind of cool, but gotcha. we'll figure it out. Cool. Or maybe we won't, you know.
I'll be like, I'm out. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll have to, yeah. The funny thing is, like, I want to show you even say anything, but it's like not played well with three or four people, even. So maybe when we do that one day, we'll do that Disney World trip.
Yeah, we'll
pull it out then.
So. That truly is inevitable, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's that will happen someday,
especially with your little girly.
Chill filtered Disney meetup. That would happen even
Girl
if that's we
only.
Oh my gosh. That would happen even if we weren't having a kid at all.
Yeah. No, 100%.
We would be going. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to make that happen. Did I tell you we're going in September?
You did, but I don't think you said it on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Going in September.
That's exciting.
That was kind of my trade off with Heather. If I can go to San Antonio, then we can go as a family to Disney World this year. So,
and I'm not sure well, of course not. We recorded before the eclipse day. Cole and I unfortunately did not get to see
terrible.
The clouds like really rolled in. We got to see some partial like peaks through the clouds. We could kind of see like 80%, 90% through the clouds.
To the eclipse, we saw nothing. And then we saw nothing. Yeah.
It was full clouds all through the eclipse. Mm-hmm. So it got really dark. I mean, it was like it was almost nighttime dark. It was like minutes before nighttime dark. And then of course, came back. It was pretty cool.
I thought Shihiro's time lapse was super cool. I showed a lot of people that.
Yep. I'm so glad she did that too, because you really like got a feel for just how dark it got to see it transition so quickly over the course of a time lapse. Whereas like living in it was like, I remember it got really dark, but I don't even remember like just how dark. So that was cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. And it was worth it for me, even with the 24 basically hours a direction drive. It was still good. And I didn't mind the drive. I just, got through it. Plus, I got to see some people along the way sometimes. So
on the way back, did you stop anywhere cool? Did you stop at that Crittenden's or whatever it is?
No. The first day on the way back was slow.
Was there traffic? What?
No. Yeah, there was a little bit of traffic. I remember something happened the first day where I got in late to Mobile. Like it was dark by the time I arrived. And I left at like 6 or 7 that morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it might have been because I studied but still, like, that was a long day, long drive. And then on the way back, I left super early from Mobile, made it to Atlanta. Hung out with my friend Andrew and then got home by like 9.
Nice.
Do
I know Andrew?
No.
Okay.
No, he's an old friend. We grew up together in Philly. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But that's that.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. Oh, I got fun. You know what? We're going long. People are like, we're dropping people like flies. Well, I'll talk about that next week or maybe
no
another
fun stuff.
Future week. No fun stuff after 23 minutes in. So let's break here. We'll take a quick walk and we'll be back. We'll talk about Starward Whiskey. So we'll be right back. Really quick, I just wanted to do some shout outs. So first out, I just wanted to randomly shout out a random Patreon subscriber. Not because they're random, but because I just thought we haven't talked about Andrew and Melissa Loudon in a while. So shout out to you guys. Thanks for supporting us. We appreciate it. And you guys are, wait for it, ballers. Secondly, we're going to be doing Drink Along this coming weekend, while Brian is in Virginia. Prep yourself Saturday the 27th, somewhere in the afternoon. We will alert you guys ahead of time for that. We'll probably post in the details on Patreon by this time, hopefully, by the time the episode comes out. But keep an eye out, if not, for the details. So, and a big thank you to Starward Whiskey for providing us some whiskey to review. We always go for objective reviews, so we'll be honest about what we think. Sorry if it sucks. but I bet it's great. Their last stuff surprised me. It was very hubba to what in terms of especially what it was.
Yeah, I think our expectations were, you know, we didn't know what we were coming up against. So no idea. When it hit us, we were like, dang, that's pretty good. So now we're coming into this with higher expectations. With higher. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So this is our second episode on the Australian single malt whiskey producer Starward. Our first episode, which I think was Brian's first official episode as co-host.
Yep.
That was episode 279. We featured two Starward single malts. There was like their standard Nova and then their Captain's Pick number 3 single barrel. And we'll cover a bit of what makes Starward special and what makes this specific whiskey special. So I wanted to talk about just Starward whiskey and David Vitale. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It might be Vital or something. Who knows? But I'm going to go with Vitale. He is Italian, actually, so I'm going to believe that a little more. He's at least Sicilian by whatever you call it, like his parents. We'll get into that. So I read a pretty cool article from theage.au. It is an Australian news website that gave a great background of Starward's beginnings. It's titled On the Runway with a Tipple to Lift the Spirit.
With
by
what?
Lawrence Money. A tipple to lift the spirit.
Tipple.
You never heard tipple? Tipple and a, what is it? A tipple and a tot? No. What was it? Tipple. Yeah. It's like a dram. Tipple.
Oh, drink alcohol, especially habitually.
Oh.
Or so that's verb. Noun is an alcoholic drink. So good to know.
Okay. Yeah. Tipple. Yeah. You never heard that? We've talked, me and Robbie have talked about that.
Tipple. No.
Maybe it was me and Adam. Who knows? Anyway, it was Adam. I do remember going back as far to Adam now that I think about it. The guy who wrote it was Lawrence Money. The article is old, but like I said, it gives a really cool story of the origin of the distillery, and the article was from 2013. But David Vitale, an Aussie by birth, born to Sicilian parents who had moved to Australia, he worked in IT and was a very successful man running a financial services firm, very successful businessman. But sold his firm around the year 2000. He had some money from said sale, but he was a home brewer by hobby with beer. And at a certain point, he and his wife moved to Tasmania. Shout out to our Tasmanian listeners like Joel Bradbury. Or should I? I'll ding him. What a baller.
He's so far south and he's on the other end of the world. Instead of a high-pitched ding, he gets a ooh, ooh.
Yeah, when you're in the southern hemisphere, you get a different ding. Tasmania, the small little island off the southeast mainland of Australia, has been the center of Australian single malt whiskey. And for years, for decades even. David eventually, like, soon takes a job at what's the Lark Distillery, which is like a big deal in the single malt world in Australia. In fact, the Lark Distillery had been established in 1992. That gives you an idea of how long Australian single malts have been a thing for over 30 years now.
That's cool.
Which I think probably, maybe not predates the United States single malt, like American single malts, but like, do you know of any American single malts from the 90s? So I think it's pretty cool that Australia was kind of in that scene. Tasmania has Sullivan's Cove, a few others, but they're like big deal. Sullivan's Cove started in 1994. All that to say to these Aussies, good on you, mates. So when Vitale took the job at Lark, he was so inspired to make whiskey himself. After 2 years there, he got Bill and Lynn Lark's blessing to start his own distillery in Melbourne. And he started his distillery in what originally he used as his aircraft hangar at the Essendon Airport in Melbourne. Isn't that cool? He just used the hangar. And he thought, I thought that was great. So anyway, Starward Whiskey is known for aging their single malt in red wine, not as a finishing cask, but as the total like cask. From a nearby winery they grabbed them from. And they're very proud of that. So I looked this up and I was happy I did. Melbourne is approximately at the 38th southern latitude line. So I was wondering like what the temperature was around the, you know, 38th parallel or whatever they call it. And I looked it up to compare it to the Northern Hemisphere, and come to find out, I live right near the 38th parallel on the northern portion. That being said, like I was mentioning, the temperature can affect aging and weather can affect aging, but I looked up the monthly highs and lows in Melbourne. And it looks like Melbourne's a little cooler altogether than somewhere like Richmond, Virginia. Like you get a little more highs in the higher portions in Richmond than you would in Melbourne. It gets up to like generally in Melbourne, about 80 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter, which is their summer. And it gets as low as about 45 ish at the worst of it, which is crazy. Because here in Virginia, we get higher highs and lower lows than they do. So it's kind of funny. But maybe that wasn't a trustworthy website where I got it from. But
how close are you to the coast?
I could get to the coast. It depends on the coast. But I can get there in like an hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah, because usually like cities that are literally on the coast and
cooler.
I think Melbourne is right on the
coast. Yeah, they're basically right on the coast. Yeah.
Yeah. Southern usually coast. The water temperature helps keep things a little more
stable.
Even. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I figure we're just far enough inland. I'm looking at the map right now. We're just far enough inland where it's like, yeah, we get humidity and heat more so.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. I'm glad you brought that up. We're definitely not either one of those, you know, 38th parallel, north or south, are not even close to where Scotland is. So that's something to consider for single malts.
Yeah.
What we're drinking today is a little extra special for Starward. So we're drinking the Starward single malt collaboration with Lagavulin. First of all, there's no Lagavulin juice in this, just in case anyone was wondering. And first of all, beautiful. As I wrote down in my notes, beautiful bottle and box.
Oh, yeah.
Really gorgeous, classy looking bottle.
Gorgeous green color.
Yeah, it's they like got topography like Found North.
I know. When you said that he was from Sicily, I was like, wait a minute. What does Sicily look like? I was like, is this Sicily on here? It is not.
And it's probably just like Found North where like it really isn't anything.
Yeah, I still don't know what this island is. And it looks like with the Starward like Starburst logo thing that they've got. Like I wondered if there's a city on this island right here, wherever that is, if this like
maybe it's no, it wouldn't be Tasmania. That's not the same look.
Nah. I don't that's not Tasmania shaped, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway, the green color, it's like perfectly in the middle between like forest green and like a deep teal. It's kind of like somewhere around there. And like and it's got this little like magnetic latch on the box and a fancy inside.
Is that like a constellation thing or something in there?
It's kind of like how you're going to what you're going to get from it. There's like coastal peat. Rich and earthy stuff going on in here. Yeah.
That's cool. The typical age for Starward products is between about 2 and 3 years ish so far for them. On this one, it mentions how it's just finished, quote, for a further 18 months, unquote, in peated Scotch casks from Lagavulin. So I imagine they aged this about 2 or 3 years and then finished it for a year and a half. But I didn't get any information on that further. I guess we could have asked, but it is a single malt. So expect 100% malted barley. And I expect some potentially grapey, juicy red wine notes too. Likely giving it some smoky notes from the barrel finish. On their website, it says available to the U.S. residents only. So sorry, Joel. Sorry, to our Canadian listeners as well. 96
not
proof.
Even yeah dang not yeah, even Australia yeah, yeah yeah and yeah, like, and if it's only Australia. US oh. It's only US, but it still came in a 700 milliliter bottle.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Yeah, I was like weird. Sadly sold out on their website already.
Interesting thing about that. They did a lottery system for you to put in your email address to get selected to purchase. And day one came and went. And then day two came, and my name got drawn, but I can't remember if we explicitly said, but Star Ward did provide this to us, actually. So thank you very much for that. And it made it so I did not have to actually buy my own.
Nice.
But like a matter of like hours or so after the day email wave went out, it was like sold out. So it sold out on day two of their email lottery wave.
What's our contact's name? Maya?
Oh, yeah.
Maya. Shout out to Maya. You've been very helpful. And she helped in the last episode too. She was very helpful with the background and some of the interview questions we brought to her. Retail on their website, 130. And that's what we got. So let's pour this out for the homies. But not on the floor, into the glass.
While we're pouring, just an interesting note. You said that Star Ward usually ages their stuff about 3 years.
2 to 3.
2 to 3 years. And keep in mind what that latitude was. You know, equivalent of right around North Carolina, you know, North Carolina through Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma. Like that's a... That's not necessarily going to be a colder climate like you're going to get in Scotland or anything. So, you know how Del Bach, obviously a very warm climate, but only ages on the other hand, like a year and a half or 2 years or however long it is. And Garrison only ages, you know, just a couple of years. So like, I feel like it's the amount that they age is in line with their latitude and climate and temperatures that they're reaching.
Yeah. Everything. Think of, what is it? Amroot? Or Paul John.
Yeah.
They're very hot climates and they age for like a few years.
Yeah. The big sniff. I was waiting for it.
I'm not getting peaty notes at all in the nose.
I'm getting a smidge.
Yeah, I guess there's something there. But I am getting a funk, which is not a bad funk, but it's kind of like a dusty funk a little bit, which I dig.
I'm getting a light apple-y.
There's a little peat there.
Yeah, light apple-y thing going on. There's definitely enough peat that I'm not just like convincing myself that I think I'm getting peat. Like there's definitely actually a little peat there, but you know, kind of a surprisingly light amount given that this was in Lagavulin barrels for 18 months.
The more I sniff, the more peaty it gets. Like the longer I have been going, like I'm like, oh, this is actually like
you're honing noticeable. In on it. Or maybe even, you know, if we let this sit for 10 minutes, I bet it might even change a little bit too. But yeah, I mean,
I'm not getting as many like juicy raisiny notes on the nose that I got from the prior Star Wars.
Yeah, not at all. It definitely has that light. It's not the youthy hay barn note that I love to throw out. But like there is a grassy sweet hay thing going on the nose too, along with some lighter, brighter fruits like apple. I'm honing in on an apple note here. So I think apple, peat, and sweet hay is my ultimate nose notes.
So I just took a sip. I got to think about this one. So it is surprisingly more Lagavulin-y than it is Star Ward on the palate. It is not bad. Like I think I heard one bad review of that. Not a bad review, but a lackluster review of this. And I don't think this is bad. I think this is, surprisingly peaty. For what I expected, especially for just 18 months age or finished. It's good.
The first thing that really hits me is brininess.
Exactly. And there's a grittiness to it, like almost on the burn of the tongue. And it's not just from the proof.
I was going to say a little minerality, if that's what you meant by grittiness, but just like a little bit of minerality, but the briny really comes through. The peat is a very nice, it's absolutely there, but it's like a 4 out of 10 peat. So it's absolutely not like a peat kick in the teeth, which is good though, because it balances really well with the sweet hay, and it balances. You know, I was saying apple a lot on the nose. I'm not really seeing apple on the palate, but there's a sweet, fruity thing going on that I'll try to hone in on.
Yeah, and I think some of the complexity of it was like, first you get a little bit of peat, then you get a little bit of briny, then you get a little bit of fruit that shows its face. And it, I think at the end, it even you get a slightest note of like raisins. But it is really hidden behind a lot of things, that raisins. And I could see some people never getting that note because of the peat and everything within that. But I think like it's funny how it's stacked in flavor towards Lagavulin. Yeah. And then it turns into Starboard at the end, for me at least. And I think your sweet hay note is actually a really good note.
The raisins, I don't think I would have picked up on it on myself, but I'm totally convincing myself that I'm seeing some sort of dry red fruit at the very, very the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say like the progression of the sip is very even throughout.
Yeah.
There's no sharp, anything right at the end. Point. There's no bitterness towards the end. I get a relatively thick viscosity, kind of in terms of experience. There's a thicker butteriness that really carries through evenly throughout the whole sip that I really like.
I agree with that. I think it is a very pleasant journey you take with this one. Flavor Town.
My cat agrees. Also, she came in. Meow. She said a couple mouths.
Mouths a dung.
She's
communist
only getting,
cat.
She's only getting nose notes though.
Okay. So funny story. I usually shop at the grocery store every Sunday with my daughter Beck.
Oh yeah.
And she loves it. It's kind of a fun thing for her. But there's an ABC store on the way home from the from the grocery store. And we went this past week, and there was a rep there who was like sampling some pours, and all I saw was, hey, see if you can put this one together. Bullet, Johnny Walker, and Dickel.
Yeah.
Guess that conglomerate.
Oh, Johnny Walker. I should know this. Mm-hmm.
That's the big toe.
But nah.
Diageo.
Oh, yeah.
So I lean over, I'm like, oh, are you with Diageo? And she's like, yes. Like she was like surprised I knew that. And then she's like, do you want a sample? I'm like try not to be that guy who's like, I obviously know something about whiskey. So I was like, yeah, I'll take some. They had Johnny Walker Black, and I was like, yeah, I'll take some Johnny Walker Black. And then she like pours me, you know, the little like communion cup basically.
Yeah.
Of the Lord's blood. No, I'm kidding. She like I was with Beck holding Beck in my arm, like, you want to smell this, Beck? And it was just funny. Like I was like, but don't sip it, you. And everyone thought that was funny. So
that's cute.
But everyone was like, yeah, but seriously, don't sip it. But I figure like I think Robbie's even talked about this. It's like, would I think that anyone below the age of like 13 would like whiskey? No. They would hate whiskey. So it's like you almost want to show, if you don't want your kid to drink, you might want to show them how to drink before they're 13 and then scare them away. And then they'll be like, I don't want to drink daddy's juice. So
my dad.
But I'm not going to do that with a 2-year-old for the record, people. So go ahead.
Yeah. My dad never drank at home or anything, you know, only just if there's a work function and everybody was having a gin and tonic, he'd have a gin and tonic. But my brother is quite different than I am. And
I didn't even know you had a brother.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think he was a little more, you know, interested in alcohol than I was. So one day dad came home with a 6-pack and was like, here, try this. And of course I was like, this is disgusting. And I don't remember what my brother said, but sure enough, the next day there was one missing out of the fridge.
and dad like saw it.
And so my parents knew to come to me first, and they're like, Brian, there's a beer missing out of the fridge. Did you have anything to do with that? And I'm like, no. And they're like, yeah, okay, I thought so.
Yeah. Is your brother older or younger?
Yeah, he's older. Yeah.
That's funny. So wait, I think you have a sister.
Nah.
Okay, so how many brothers?
Just one.
Okay, how much older is he?
2 years.
Okay.
Yep.
What's his name?
His name is Justin.
Maybe you told me that. That sounds a little familiar. Anyway, I just like to know. I like to know. Yeah. Shout out. This sounds terrible. Shout out to my sister who would have turned 37 today.
Hey.
So cheers. Pour a little bit out for the homie.
Let's get a ding here.
Yeah. It's on my pants now. But yes, she would have turned 37 today. And I'm, it's sad. But it was good to think about her today. Like that was like a joy of today was like my whole family's group text was sending photos of, you know, her. So
that's exactly what I was going to ask. If there's something that you guys do.
For her birthday,
even just the smallest thing. Yeah.
When she dies or like, not when she dies, when, the day of her or passing, we'll usually do like a family like Zoom call and just talk about her and stuff like that. Yeah. But on her birthday, we'll just usually like send photos of how we miss her.
Yeah. That's good. That sounds good.
Speaking of siblings, Robbie's going to hone in on that. He's like, oh, you got a brother. Well, I got a dead sister or something like that.
Oh,
anyway, I can take it pretty lightly, guys. I have a dark sense of humor.
I didn't think of it that way at all.
That's good. I'm sure Robbie did.
He's always looking for something. Mm-hmm. I added a little water to this. Mm-hmm. And
me too.
I think I'm getting more sugar on the nose now. Something about 100%. It smells sweeter.
It's definitely sweeter. It's still not like peaty much on the nose, but it is definitely sweeter. And I just sipped it with some water. It is bright, like very fruity and peaty at the same time. I actually prefer it with water. It's much more opened. It's much more bright, sweeter.
Yes.
The notes are more turned up in a really good way. And the peat is actually lessened in a really well-balanced way, too.
On the neat palate?
No, this is with water.
Oh, okay. For me, with water, the sweet hay became dry, grassy hay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is, I think, a little more youth shines through for me with water. And it's a little bit more bitter, just a smidge bitter, and it's a little more tannic, like... a little drying a little bit. Yeah.
Huh. I'm getting this. Which is weird. This is much more preferred than just even the neat pour.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Must have added different amounts of water.
Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about because why would it be drier if I added water?
That's true. Yeah. So obviously, Cole was more right in this situation because it's sweet water. That's what I
had. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I dig it. I'm curious what ice is going to do this.
I actually have high hopes for ice. I think that peaty whiskeys, even just a little bit of peat, can stand up to ice a bit because they have that backbone.
Yeah, sometimes. I feel like I've had like some pretty bad ice ones, but there have been some. Like I think the majority have enough to keep up, but I feel like I've had some that are like, ugh. Blah, with ice. But so far peak. How I liked the water pour, I have a feeling this will still be great. And I have a feeling Star Wars, the first two we had were decent with ice, if I remember correctly, which I probably don't remember correctly. Not for Star Wars, I just in general don't remember correctly.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, that was 24 episodes ago.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, I think October-ish is when I joined for realsies.
So yeah, that's almost a half year ago.
Gosh.
Actually, it is a half year ago.
All my ice has melted together into giant clumps.
Clumps. Is there any word that's like super, besides like people hate moist, but is there ever a word that like really bothers you?
Me? There aren't any words that bother me. There are
make you feel uncomfortable.
There are words that I think are like hilarious words.
Okay.
I'm not. On. No. Put me on the spot. This is like the worst thing you could possibly put me on the spot for. Just, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll post in the Discord next time one comes up.
That sounds good.
But Sam is very anti-moist.
Yeah. Well, I get it. I totally get it, but it kind of makes me laugh more than anything.
Yeah, right.
It is a weird sounding word. You know what gets me? Sure. And like makes me like weird and uncomfortable? It, like not in a terrible way, but I'm like, ugh, I don't like that word. Spongy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, spongy. I just hate that word. Spongy. So I'm like, ugh.
I'm going to have to incorporate that in my tasting notes in the future. Yeah,
like, it's like a spongy sponge.
Sponge cake. Whiskey. How about, can you do sponge cake?
That's fine. I get, even sponge, but like spongy is weird.
All right.
Good nose. Sweet, but not as sweet as the water pour.
Yes. I think all I get is a little bit of sugar on the nose with ice. And I don't get anything else on the nose. And then on the palate, I hardly get anything either. There's like a bitter peat thing going on the finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sweet. There's absolutely nothing that's like harsh or unpleasant about it, but it's just like, I feel like I'm drinking like sweet tea. That's like
that's
mixed with a little bit of peat.
Yeah. It's a very different flavor and I don't prefer it to either of the other pours. And you're right. At first I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this when I first, for some reason my Google Home was like, oh, you want to talk right now? And I was like, no.
You want to buy sponges on Amazon?
Yeah. You're like, oh, so you, I'm going to start calling you spongy rather.
I have a story about that when you're done.
Oh, nice. But the notes are there. They're muted and dampened, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like they're there, but it's like the amplitude is down. You know about amplitude. You're an RF guy.
Yeah. So absolutely I do. Amplitude and frequency, both.
Baby. Yeah. Darn right. So go ahead. Yeah.
Like months ago, Sam and I were what was it? Pete Davidson, the SNL guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbie movie.
Okay.
The song, the I'm Just Ken song.
Yeah.
I assume you saw that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a SNL skit that was I'm Just Pete.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty funny, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's Pete Davidson just ripping himself apart, just like absolutely making fun of himself relentlessly. Mm-hmm. I'm Just Pete. And so Sam wanted to watch it on YouTube. So I had the remote thing and I held down the button and I said, I'm Just Pete. And then, it goes, okay. So you would like me to call you Pete now or something. And it asked for like authentication on it.
Yeah.
And I started laughing and I was trying to like compose myself. Like, no, I was about to say no. But while I was laughing, Sam was like, yes. And so it's been like that for months. And so
is
like,
that when, Siri or Google?
Google. And so like literally for months, it's like, I have a reminder for Pete. And like, that's how we live now is I'm Pete.
I should change my name. you know, to Deathblade.
I have a reminder for Deathblade.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I saw a very funny tweet one time that's like, you know, you're given a very special opportunity when you become a grandparent where you get to basically name yourself for them. And it's like, why go with Gigi or Momo or Meemaw when you can go with Deathblade? And I was like, I'll see how my grandkids are, but that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to Patty about becoming Deathblade. I think that sounds pretty edgy.
It's definitely not Jim. It's going to be Patty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you ever see it's another one where it's kind of like making fun of himself with Pete Davidson. You ever see Walking in Staten?
Maybe not.
You ever heard the song Walking in Memphis?
Okay, no.
So he's like, walking with my feet 10 feet off a beel. It's like an old song. It's not even like, I don't even know what genre it'd be, but it's not like exactly country and it's not exactly pop. It's like somewhere in the middle of those.
Okay.
The guy who sings his name is Mark Cohn. And I think it's a great song for like maybe it was the 90s or maybe late 80s or something like that. But they basically are like redoing that song with Staten Island. And so Pete Davidson's from Staten Island, and he's just like bringing up the terrible things about Staten Island. And then they bring on Mark Cohn, and they're like, he's like, no, I won't agree to doing like a redo of this song about Staten Island. And then he's like, okay. And then he like joins the song, and he's got a great voice, like this guy. And so he's like singing about, instead of Memphis, he's talking about Staten Island. It's so
nice.
Funny.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't even like Pete Davidson that much, but yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
I like how he handles the ridiculousness of himself from his humor standpoint.
Yeah.
Like stand-up comedy point of view. But
I agree.
Do I like who he is as a person? Like, maybe not.
I agree with that, because I never liked him on SNL too much. Like there was, I mean, like I just said, there was one that I really enjoyed from him. But I like him as a stand-up comedian, because he'll rip on himself and like do a great job, and you know, he's got issues with mental health and stuff, and he'll talk about that, and I can appreciate that as well, that he can, you know, be open about that kind of stuff. But yeah, normally I wouldn't like go see a movie with him in it.
right
Yeah. What was I thinking? Okay, so yeah, what would you think you'd rate this one? Have ideas. I gotta really put together a formal score though.
I know. I'm gonna just stick with the letter score here. I don't want to think about numbers. I'm busy day at work, don't want to think about numbers. I'm gonna go A-. I think this, you know, I came in with higher expectations, and what really put this over the A threshold and to be an A- was that it has a very consistent mouthfeel, and it has a consistent experience throughout the entire sip. That buttery note, that buttery mouthfeel just holds true through the whole sip, and absolutely, to me, no substantial negative comment can be made. And that puts it in that A- bucket, where everything about it is great. And I would totally remember this and reach for it on my shelf. It would stand out.
I really like that, but I had to go on my own. But it really solidified what I was kind of thinking. I was like, is this B+ range? And I decided it wasn't. I do agree with the A-, and I'm going to go with an 8.4 here. Nice. When it comes down to both. And the reason I gave it an A- as opposed to a B+ is I was thinking B+ originally, because I was like, this is good, it's very good, nothing bad about it, but it's just not blowing my mind. But that being said, like, it's worth you know, like, worth considering if you're thinking about buying it or something like that. I don't want to like give this any bad notes because it's not blowing my mind, but then I thought, I was like, this is definitely better than an 8. What you brought up about the complexity in the middle of it all, where you're getting that peat, you're getting that brightness, you're getting those raisins, you're getting that grape a little bit. I love that. So that's why I gave it an A- instead of a B+. I think this is really good, and I don't want to like sound like A+ is not, or A- rather. A- is not anything great. Like, no, A- is amazing. And I'm actually going to change my score from 8.4 to 8.5. It's not much, but I do think this is really cool in its complexity, and that's the best thing this guy's got going for it. So,
far from a one note. I mean, there are many notes here that all,
at least four, at least
that all play together very well. Yeah, so I dig it. Mm-mm.
Well, there's our ratings. Now it is time for our next segment of the show that we like to call Whiskey World News.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Whiskey World News segment. And normally I'd read an article from like a website or something, but today I'm reading an email. This email comes from Found North.
Nice.
And if you are not on their email list, you need to get
on it.
On their email list for reasons I'll explain here. But the title of this email that you missed because you're not on Found North's email list.
How do you know that?
Oh no, I'm teasing. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm talking to the listener, Cole.
Okay, cool.
I actually, I realized that the chillfiltered podcast at gmail.com email wasn't on there. So we weren't like, on like the podcast email, we weren't getting maybe that was like, marketing stuff. So even I just signed that up on there. So get out there and sign up for that email address. Introducing Helldiver is the title of the email. The newest addition to the High Altitude Collection. I'm just going to read a couple excerpts from this email here. So Helldiver First Flight is the newest addition to our High Altitude Collection. Unlike our batches where we blend fully matured whiskeys, our High Altitude Collection is defined by the process of blend, finish, reblend. Adhering to this creation philosophy, Helldiver started as a blend of 15, 22, and 23-year-old corn with 18 and 19-year-old rye, which we recast into Pedro Ximenez Sherry Cognac and new American oak casks. Over the following year, we meticulously tracked these casks' progression, pulling and vatting them as they reached their peak maturation. To achieve the correct balance, we only used 2/3 of these casks in the final blend, which is exciting. What are they going to do with the other third of those casks, Cole?
It's like a double George Berry Stagg situation. Oh, what are you going to do with those barrels?
Oh, baby. Yeah, right? Yeah, that year that they, what was that, 2001?
21, I think.
Yeah. So nicknamed Helldiver, the common loon is known for its aquatic prowess and its eerie nighttime.
Go ahead.
Wait, was that, there's one in your room right now, Cole.
There's a Helldiver in my room.
I wish I had a Helldiver bottle in my room right now.
Mm-hmm. Yo, Robbie's going to take that one and make a thing out of it. He's gonna switch in a word. I wish there was a something in my room right now.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right, eerie nighttime call haunts foggy northern lakes of North America. At an avian submarine, it does not spend its days stretching across the horizon touched by the sun. Instead, it delves deep and dances with the devil, only emerging at dusk when it yowls at the moon, red eyes glowing in the diminishing sunlight. Shout out to Nick Taylor for writing all this, by the way.
Did he write it, you think?
He writes all the copy, man.
That's Nick, true. Yeah.
He's got that creative writing mind here. So one thing you're going to want to know here, suggested retail price, $159.99. Nice. So $160 a bottle here for this guy.
Was that more than they told us?
I don't remember what I think if they told us anything less, they told us $150.
Okay, so cool.
Maybe they
it was something else they told us was 110 ish, now clicks. Okay.
When and how to buy, tune in. This is the most important part, random drawing. While stores across the country will receive allocations of Helldiver, we suspect it will sell out quickly. Our goal is to give as many Found North supporters as possible a fair opportunity to purchase a bottle. So on Friday, April 26th. This coming Friday, after That's this us. Comes out, this coming Friday, April 26th, we will send out a link to enter the random drawing. The link will remain open until Monday, April 29, giving people ample time to enter. The selections will be made by a random number generator.
That's cool. But can you put in multiple entries for you and your family is the question.
I mean, separate email addresses? I don't know. You know,
you wouldn't believe how many separate email addresses I have for this reason.
I had a misconception until this very moment right here. Mm-hmm. I thought that signing up for the email list was
signing up
already right now. But no, apparently I'm reading this for my own sake again.
That's good.
On Friday, we will send out a link to enter the drawings. Okay, so emails go out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
And if you live in the following states, they cannot ship to you.
Is Virginia on there?
SOL. Test my state knowledge here. SOL if you live in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Hawaii, Illinois, Missouri, Mississippi, San Diego, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Utah.
Hey, so I can get one.
Yep.
I did on the last one. I don't know why that's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the bottle is gorgeous. It is this like pink, purple, reddish sunset kind of thing.
They
going
do a good
on.
Job. Who does that, Nick? If you're listening, let us know.
Yeah, you know,
definitely not kinda... Nick. Knowing Nick, he's a good guy in many ways, but I don't think he's an artist.
Same kind of cut across the middle section of the label too. I just noticed that they did that on Peregrine too, where the label's actually in two different pieces, right at bird level. So that's
bird level.
Cool. Bird level. All right. Well, anything else?
I heard you put out a whiskey, or what whiskey would you choose this week?
Yeah. Wouldn't you know it? Back on track. Finally got the what whiskey would you choose out. So last week actually it was on Thursday. So I can't pat myself on the back too hard here because I missed Wednesday. But what whiskey would you choose? On Instagram, we polled you. And we asked you, what is the oldest whiskey you've ever had? And was it worth it? And so on the first page poll here, where we just have you pick between Cole and my oldest whiskeys we've ever had, I chose Alexander Murray & Co. 23-year for the drink-along. Cole chose Whoopenholler.
For the dink-along, you mean?
Dink-along. Dink-along. Yes. What a great typo. Oh my gosh.
Dude, better than Robbie's. I love Robbie. But he would write some like Songle Barrel and stuff like that.
Dude, Songle Barrel is like one of my favorite. Like that sticks with me. I see the word single barrel and I think Songle Barrel. like all the time.
A Songle Barrel.
That's so funny. Man, dink along, man. We got a dink along coming up here, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Coming up in a few days.
Oh man, I'm excited. All right. So I just wiped the floor with Cole here because wouldn't you know, a lot of our Instagram voters are Patreon subscribers. Mm-hmm. So thanks for siding with me here. 88% to 12%.
Sweet. But I don't know if that's like a compliment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe no, it's a compliment. Cool stuff, you know.
More than anyone else ever has. So actually, that's pretty cool. So we got a bunch of that's cool. Let's go. You can take it. We got a bunch of write-ins. We got Joel and M 09. He says the
Tasmania. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not sure I've ever actually read. So that's Joel Bradbury, eh?
Yep.
Nice.
And his wife Emma.
Joel and M. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I get it. They even sent in a picture too here within the last couple
days.
He just finished
a bottle with his daddy-o.
Do they have another one?
I don't think Joel would.
The listeners don't even know what I'm talking about. Redbreast 27 for Joel here.
Good answer.
Definitely worth it. Finished it last night with my dad. So
that was up there with the 28 year I just gave. Yeah.
Yeah. Redbreast 27 though. Increased in price again from what I've heard.
Oh, really? Is it like 900 now?
So at least in Phoenix, it was 900. And I just saw a photo. What? I saw a photo of someone within the last 24 hours at Total Wine. The Redbreast 27 was like 1050.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I remember when it was 600. Man.
Right. I know.
But actually, since we gave that answer for, on the podcast, you have had Redbreast 27, so you've upped your age.
That's true. I did get to sample that. What was I thinking?
What were you thinking?
I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to typo dink along if I'd put Redbreast 27 on there.
It was just that good.
Yep. All right. Whiskey drinking panda. Pandas enjoy Glenmorangie 18 and Bruichladdich. I always forget
Bruichladdich.
Bruichladdich. Thank you. Mm-hmm. 18. Both 18s. Both were great.
Bruichladdich 18 would blow my mind. So good.
Yeah. Madtown marketer Ben Klepsik says Redbreast 27. Yes, definitely worth it. It was a chill filtered Secret Santa.
Oh, from Joel Bradbury.
Oh, man. So
what
generous. With the Redbreast 27.
He gets like 7 shout outs today. Joel Bradbury. What a dude.
Paul Clarkson wrote in. He says Alexander Murray from the Drink Along. Join Patreon, he says. Paul Clarkson.
What a guy. We didn't even tell him to say that.
Join Patreon. Yeah. Kilted 518 Miles Ferguson says Alexander Murray, 23. Drink along. It was a steal at what a Patreon membership costs.
Patreon, yeah. We didn't even tell him to say that.
$10 a month tier, $10 a month tier.
Mm-hmm. Or more.
Bro Aska Testwasa, JP Weiser's 35-year Canadian whiskey. I think he's used that on a write-in before, too. Yeah. I remember hearing about that. That sounds real good.
35-year-old Canadian juice.
Buttery and rye. Buttery and rye.
Love
Marco it. NAZ, lastly here. Marco says, Glen Grant 18, a gift to Cole.
Yeah.
The old Glen Grant 18.
Together. Yeah. What a dude. Is that all the write-ins for now?
That's it.
All right. So we got one this week, and it's a fun one. And it's one we've used before, but it's like the best one we've used before. What was the last whiskey you bought, and are you proud of it?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
So wouldn't you know it, happened to be right there on my phone when an email comes in.
Nice.
From Shared Pour.
Oh.
And Shared Pour says, an item that you marked as let me know when this is back in stock is back in stock. So I smacked it. I saw what it was and click buy, checkout, done. And it was Found North Batch 8. So I know. Yep. And like it had to be like a safety case.
30 seconds.
Yeah. It had to be like a safety case hold back. There had to only be like 6 or 12 tops because after I checked out, I refreshed the page like 30 seconds later and it said sold out.
That's so amazing. Did you get it already?
Yep. And I just got it in the mail like yesterday. So yeah,
I feel
just
good. I would have done that too. I love that, Jake.
I didn't even have enough time to like tell other people. Actually, I did. The first person that came to mind was Max, Whiskey with Max.
Mm-hmm.
And I fired it off to him. And yeah, I know. Sorry. I talk about Found North with Max more than you, if you can believe
it. That's crazy.
Anyway.
Why don't you marry Max?
Maybe I'll go on a work trip and go see Max instead.
Yeah, exactly. You'll show up in Mexico with Max.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Robbie.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, by the time Max got the page open, he was like, it says sold out. I don't know.
No, all right, what about you? I got to start marking things on Shared Pour with that.
Yeah, definitely. Last bottle for you.
Oh, you're going to love this. So I put in, in Virginia, well, actually, it doesn't need to be Virginia. A. Smith Bowman recently announced their Abraham Bowman release with the French Oak. And I was like, okay, I'll put in me and my wife for the entry for that. And it's not, you don't need to be a Virginian resident like ABC lotteries would do. But you do need to be able to get to the distillery yourself. And so I put my name in, never won on Ace with Bowman. They've done this for years. I've never won. But then I won this one. So I drove up this week and grabbed me a Abraham Bowman French Oak version.
Perfect.
Excuse my hiccups. But I was very excited about that. We'll see. Maybe I'll get it hand-signed. Hand-signed with his bare hand. From David Bach. We'll figure it out.
The bear hand. Bear.
Yeah, he's got bear hands.
Bro.
And he's also a stud. Like, I met him when I went in, but like he just happened to be there. I was like, this is a good looking man. And I'm straight.
Gotta clarify. Thanks for letting us all know.
No, that just shows how good looking. Quiet, Google. No, stop.
I hear you're interested in men.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally what it's doing too. They're like, well, why don't I just recommend some products for you? He's a good looking guy. So I'm looking forward to having him on next week, and you'll get to see how good looking he truly is.
Looking forward to him outshining both of us.
Yeah, exactly. Both of us. Mostly combined. Me. so that's this week. Keep an eye out on Instagram for what you got lately. Are you proud of it? I'm proud of mine. I'm sure Brian is very proud of his.
Very favorite batch yet.
Oh yeah. Well, okay, yeah, totally. I agree with that. Even batch one. So I was between batch one and eight.
Yeah.
And I really do think Batch 8's a little bit better, finally.
Yeah. Yep. And I can't wait. Helldiver Showdown here. It's so great to be able to say that name out loud. Helldiver versus Batch 8. I can't wait to head-to-head those several times just to see which one I like more.
And Found North was nice enough to send us each another sample of it.
Yeah. So we got the almost final version, you know, and it was still knitting. Nick said we got the B quality version, I think, or something like that. Oh. So we'll get the final on the way. We got a media sample coming here, 100 mils for each of us. So that's pretty awesome.
Fill me in.
Yeah.
Fill me. All right. Next week, we're not going to put it up to a vote. We are legitimately drinking either. Well, maybe we should put it up to a vote. What are we drinking? The Cask Strength Batch 3? Are we drinking the Abraham Bowman French Oak?
Who knows? Let's do that. Which would the listener rather we drink? Yeah, know that and put a little emphasis on one over the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they ask us, we'll be like, well, our listeners said we should do that. Yeah. So we
will. Well, our listeners said 50-50, so we better do both. Yeah,
we better do both. And they also mentioned we should probably get something from the barrel itself. So we got to do that. Yeah.
We should probably take a bottle home too. They said something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things they said. So. All right. Well, I think that's it. Great episode. I'm looking forward to spanking you for the re-entry buzz.
Google not heard that too, buddy. Spanking.
You're like, well, I'll be there in a week, man.
right. Well, no, we did kiss under the solar eclipse. So.
I only thought about that after the eclipse. I was like, dang it, we forgot to kiss.
It could have been on the time lapse, man.
Yeah, it could have been. But I was on the ground getting wet from the sprinklers, or maybe the dog. Not sure still. But yeah, anyway, I hope our listeners know that we appreciate them.
And I hope I don't get sick again, thus preventing me from traveling again.
Yeah, I sure hope you don't go to Mexico.
I hope A. Smith Bowman lets us sample both. Oh, baby, that'd be so awesome.
And I hope we get a barrel thieving good time at A. Smith Bowman. But even if we don't, listeners, I hope that our love of spirits lifted your whiskey. Sweet.
For all of time, I blow my nose just like every 20 minutes. It's just, I buy so much Kleenex.
Wait, so like.